Matthew chapter 22. Now Jesus again used parables in his teaching of the people. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son, and he sent his servants to tell the guests who'd been invited to come, but they did not want to come." Now they'd been invited. Now it actually comes to it, they don't want to come. So he sent other servants with the same message. "My feast is now ready. All the animals have been slain, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast." But those who'd been invited paid no attention, and they just got on with their usual stuff. One went to his farm, another to his trading, while others beat the servants and killed them. The king was very angry, so being angry, he sent out his soldiers who killed those murderers and burnt down their city. Now this is looking forward to what was done to Jerusalem. Now, it was Jesus who did this, although he worked through the Romans. So you can see then how Jesus and God, they work through people who may be sinful, but all things are under their control. Then he called his servants and said to them, "My wedding is ready, but those invited didn't deserve it. Now, go out into the streets and invite to the great feast as many as you can find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, good and bad, and the wedding was full of guests. The king went in to look at the guests, and there was a man there who wasn't wearing the wedding clothes. What happened is that when you went to a wedding in those days, you were given a white robe to wear when you entered into the big hall where the wedding was taking place. And this man said, "No, I don't need a white robe. My clothes are very nice, thank you." And the king said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without the wedding clothes?" The man was speechless, and the king told the servants, "Tie him up, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And so Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." So wearing the white wedding garment is a bit like getting baptized into Jesus and being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. Now those who think that they don't need that I'm good enough, I'm cool anyway, it's them who will be cast out. And they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because those who are rejected from God's kingdom will think, "How foolish I have been." They'll be angry with themselves, not that God is going to torment them. So there is going to be a day of judgment. Well, the Pharisees went off and tried to entrap Jesus with their hard questions. They sent to him some of the Herodians and some of their disciples, and they said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and you teach the truth about God and you don't care for the opinion of people. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it right to pay taxes to the Romans or not?" Now, some of the Jews were so angry with the Romans, they said, "No, if you're really a true Jew, you don't pay taxes to Romans." But Jesus knew their hypocrisy, and he said to them, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Bring me a penny." And they brought him the coin that was used to pay the tax. And he said, "Whose image and whose name are written here?" "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus said to them, "So render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they went away. So what has got the image of God written and stamped on it? It's our bodies, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, and that means that our bodies, we should give them to God.
God
is God, that's right, and we are made in his image, and therefore we should give ourselves to God. And he's saying, yeah, pay the taxes. If the coin has got Caesar's name on it and his image, give that to him. But don't get too caught up with that. Give your very selves to God. That same day, some Sadducees came to Jesus. The Sadducees deny that there is any resurrection. Master, they said, Moses said that if a man has no children and then he dies, his brother must marry his widow so that they can have children in the name of the dead man. Now, there were seven brothers with us. The oldest married and died without having children, so his brother married his widow. But the same thing happened to the second brother. He died. And so the third brother married her. And he also died. And this went on, and finally all seven of them died. Last of all, the woman died also. So, when the dead shall rise to life, and don't forget the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, they said, whose wife will she be? Because they all had her. Now I would have said, look, you guys don't believe in the resurrection, don't be deceitful. But Jesus replied, you are greatly in error, because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will be like the angels, and they will not marry. And as for the dead being resurrected, haven't you ever read what God told you, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, it doesn't mean that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. It means that from God's point of view, they are effectively alive because he knows that they will be resurrected. Now, when the crowds heard this, they were amazed at his teaching. But Jesus is saying, okay, so you say that this happened. Well, fair enough. Okay, I will use your own logic against you. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had put the Sadducees to silence, they came to him, and one of them, a teacher of the law, he tried to trap Jesus with a question. Master, he said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? There were 10 commandments, and he was being asked, which is the most important? Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the most important. The second is like to it, love your neighbour as yourself, because upon this depends the whole law and the prophets. So they want one commandment, which of the 10? And Jesus quotes two and says they are the commandment. That is to love God with all that you've got, and secondly, to love your neighbour as yourself. Now, in John's letters, he makes this point that you cannot say, I love God and hate your brother. You cannot just say, oh, I love God, when actually you don't have love for your neighbour. So love is not just an idea that, oh, I love God. You must love others. And if you don't love others, then you don't really love God. When some Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus then gave them a question. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Or he's the son of David, they replied. Jesus said, why then does David, when he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, call him Lord? David said, the Lord, that's God, said to my Lord, that's Messiah, his great descendant, sit here on my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how can the Messiah simply be the son of David? No one was able to give Jesus any answer, and from that day forward, none of them dared to ask him any more questions. So the idea is that they thought that Messiah, when he came, would not be as great as David or Moses. And yet Jesus is saying that, now look, David even calls this great Messiah his son. Now the word Christ means Messiah. So Jesus was and is the Christ, the special promised one that was to be the King of Israel and the Saviour of Israel and of the world.